Welcome to Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Joyous conversations about what the afterlife evidence and modern science combine to tell us is true about our one reality. You have nothing to fear. You are eternal and you are perfectly loved. Knowing the truth changes everything. Now, here's Roberta.
Dear friends, it's essential to the future of the world and to, of course, to your own future and your own peace of mind that you better understand reality and your place in it. That's essential. We've talked a lot about why mainstream science and mainstream Christianity will be of no help to you in better understanding what's actually going on. But fortunately, there are some wonderful resources, and so you don't need either. You can just go directly to where the truth is. Today, we're going to talk about one of the best resources that's at your disposal to help you begin now to get it right. Welcome to Seek Reality. I'm Roberta Grimes, and our guest today is my friend Sandra Champlain. Sandra is an important educator in the field of better understanding who and what we are, and her book, We Don't Die, A Skeptic's Discovery of Life After Death, is almost the literal opposite of my own book, The Fun of Dying, and it's wonderful. Welcome, Sandra. I'm so glad you're here.
Hi, Roberta. I'm thrilled to be here.
We're going to have fun with this. When I read the title of your book, I thought it was another variation of what there are a number of books about. You know, what happens when we're about to die, and how do we die, and all of that. But it's not. This is, Sandra is a seeker, and she decided, and I've known a few other people who've done this, Sandra, but she decided she was going to get some answers. A few things were bugging her, and so she tugged on the string, and then tugged it a little more, and she did the hard things, which is why her book is so much fun to read. She went to where she could learn stuff, and the stuff she learned was really amazing, and we get to do that journey with her. So tell us just briefly, for the sake of people who haven't yet read your book, how did this all start?
Well, Roberta, it started years ago having a fear of dying, and I was just a miserable human being. I had the same cruddy stuff keep happening to me over and over and over, just really unhappy. And just one day, it really hit me that what happens after I die? Do I go on? Is Sandra just over? And I don't know why it presented itself as such a fear of dying, but it was so bad that when I'd go to sleep at night, it was like afraid of dying, not having the answers, not knowing if I lived a good life. And that's where it all started.
Well, that explains the title, obviously, of your book, because someone who comes from deep fear and learns how to vanquish that fear is going to say, it's not real. You don't have to worry about it. Oh, I'm going to call my book, We Don't Die. And so that's where the title came from. I told Sandra as I read her book, I was trying to think of other better titles that would talk about life, because her book is really all about life. Tell us now, in the very beginning, you started to sort of discover things that didn't make sense in a material world.
Yeah, I was
talk about that a little bit.
Just a little bit about my upbringing. My parents were great people. Dad's deceased, but Mom's still alive. But we were very much the type, like, we had to see it to believe it. And back in the day when I was a kid, there was like a local lady in town that called herself a psychic. And she had predicted the Maid of the Mist, the boat that travels under Niagara Falls, would capsize. There's all these deaf children on board. And it never happened, right? So my parents were just like, kids, don't believe in any of that stuff. No one can tell you the future. And so I never had any belief in anything spiritual, even though we went to school, Catholic school. There was no belief. So anybody that I knew of that believed in mediums or psychics or got their cards read, I mean, I would be like, oh, God bless you, but none of that.
Right. You're crazy friend. As a bed bug, right.
Yeah. But this fear of dying just showed up in my life. And everybody in my life knew that I was very much mainstream. I didn't believe in the occult and all that woo-woo stuff, I would call it. But very secretly, I just started this journey. Like, is there something that I can really believe in that's true? Being Catholic, I was taught to have faith in heaven. But faith did not solve the fears, didn't make the fear go away. So it's like I had to dig for more. And I dug through the worlds of major world religions to try to find somebody who must have an answer about the afterlife. And I, you know, at that point, I couldn't find anything. So I realized, well, if I can just be the best person I can be, then I have, you know, I should have nothing to fear. But still, like, that little nagging voice was in my mind, and that fear was still there. And lo and behold, I got an opportunity to see a medium do a stage show just for fun, right? Just for entertainment, because, of course, I don't believe in that stuff.
Yeah. And I remember this story. This was great.
Yeah, I was so engaged. It was Doreen Virtue.
Yes.
And she was so authentic and so real, and there was no big push for buying her books or getting any readings done. And I started to really, like, it really hit home, like, this is the real deal.
Yes.
Yeah.
So then, but you kept coming across interesting things that could not possibly be real. And so you had to go try them yourself.
You bet I did.
For example, and this is something which I know is a, I should probably back up a step and say my approach to all of this has been the exact opposite of yours. I've not wanted to be psychic. I've not wanted to investigate any of those skills. I'm just dry as toast trying to understand reality and our place in it and the afterlife. So I never would have said, okay, remote viewing sounds ridiculous. I'm going to go learn how to do it.
Let me go try. Yeah.
Which is what you did. Tell us about that.
Oh, I did that with remote viewing. I did it with hypnosis. I took a course in mediumship. Can I tell the medium story first?
I love the one on dowsing, too. I think I would read the book if I were anyone listening, just for what you say about dowsing, which I didn't know anything about, and it blew my mind.
Oh, yeah. We'd see these people on TV that would have either a branch or these divining rods, they called it, and they could find underground streams, which led to where should I dig my well for my house.
That's the least of it, it turns out, because you can, and what was funny was, all right, there's Sandra, she doesn't believe in this stuff anyway, but they put these rods in her hand, and then they show her how to train the rods. This is what it's going to feel like when you're over water. This is what it's going to feel like when you're not.
Yeah.
You say to your rods, and the rods obey you. And you can train those rods. I'm sorry, I'm sort of taking over doing your part of the interview because I just love this.
You're excited. I'm excited. I am so excited because, you know, those rods aren't the thing that actually has the power. It's us human beings. We are... well, I want to give a gift to your listeners, by the way. If you go to my website, I've got many of them, but it just sandrachamplain.com will do. If you want to read the first chapters of my book that I give my afterlife evidence, that I call it, the journey that I went on, all these stories, just so, because I know in the time we have together, there's no way I can get them all out because there is so much other good stuff. But I want to give everybody that as a gift. You can read it for free.
SandraChamplain.com, and you can read the first part of the book for free. Well, that's wonderful.
Yeah,
that's
with all the stories, and there's some hidden surprises in there, too, for you. But when I realized, Roberta, that we don't die, okay, so we go on. So we are these infinite souls that go on. So living here on planet Earth, we must be these souls right here, right now. And so remote viewing, which you brought up, is an ESP technique where you can actually quiet your mind, and I could maybe see something that's on your dining room table where you live. I mean, it's something that's so mind-blowing that I teach people how to do this, because when you can have an experience right now as a human being that blows your mind like that, like I can't possibly know something like that, so I can't possibly just be this person in the body. And the same thing with these divining rods. This whole thing about dowsing is our bodies can pick up subtle energies. People sometimes say when they walk into a room, they feel bad vibes, right? That's the same vibration that these rods are picking up.
Yeah, and you did experiments that way as well, having good, being kind to rice or, that was the one that had with regard to water. We'll talk about that in a minute.
Yeah.
But you had some, a
My
room
hot
with
sauces.
Positive stuff and a room with negative stuff.
Yes.
And you taught the divining rods how to tell the difference, and you found that they could always It was a bottle, I think, that you had. Yeah.
It was a bottle of hot sauce. I had
seven
or eight, or eight bottles of hot sauce. I'd gone to the island, and my friend Peter really liked different spicy hot sauces.
Uh-huh.
So I picked him up this set of, I think it was eight hot sauces. And they were all identical bottles, but different labels. Well, in the dousing class, we talked about the power of prayer and the power of positive intention and how we can bless people, bless things. There's so many studies about people that have been prayed for heal faster than people.
Oh, yes.
You know? Yes. So I just, for kicks, decided to take all these hot sauces, and I grabbed one, closed my eyes, and I said this prayer, just filling this hot sauce with, you know, positive vibes, good energy. Anybody who sprinkled it on their food, just it was charged with good energy. And of course, my mind is saying, I'm making this up. This isn't possible. You know, we all have this skeptical mind, I think, or most of us do. But without opening my eyes, I took a piece of scotch tape and stuck it on the bottom of this bottle of hot sauce. So one of the bottles clearly was prayed for, and it had the scotch tape on it. So with my eyes closed, I put them on the ground.
Throughout, your eyes are closed throughout.
Yep, and I mixed them up, and then I spread out these bottles of hot sauces on the floor, on my kitchen floor, a few feet in between. And so I had the intention, and I had these rods in front of me, and I thought, okay, which one was the one that was blessed? Which one has this powerful energy in it? So I went over one, the rod stayed still. I went over another, the rod stayed still. And I think it was the sixth or seventh one, and the rods just open wide, you know, and I thought, oh, that's because I could feel like energy in my body. I got goosebumps, like that was the experience.
Yeah.
And so sure enough, that was the one that had the scotch tape on it. And I've done it since.
There were like six or seven, right? There weren't even just two. Oh, my goodness.
Yep.
And you're saying that what you learned was that it had nothing really to do with the rods. They were just the way that your body signaled that it had found what you told it to look for, right?
Right. Right. Little kids were taught how to do this, and there was only two sets of rods to go around, and there was a dozen kids. Well, the guy who taught me how to do the dowsing, his name is Joey Korn, he tells the story that this little boy is like, hey, Joey, look at me, and the kid's walking with straight arms, and all of a sudden the arms open wide, and he picks up the rods. You don't need the rods. And I think people that are finely tuned to their bodies know when something feels good, feels bad, and don't underestimate the power of prayer or thinking positive thoughts. Even before I get on an airplane, I kind of say a silent prayer and bless the airplane. You know, just you just never know, right? You never know.
Yeah. I've been doing this for 50 years.
Yeah.
I already know a lot of this stuff.
Right.
But reading your book and watching a naive person, and actually a sort of skeptical naive person, honestly report on her experiences in figuring it out was really mind-opening for me, because all this time I've been reading about this stuff and figuring it would be a big deal for me to go and learn how to do it so I don't have to learn how to do it.
Right.
I'll just read about it. But you're saying, Roberta, you were being silly because look what I did, and it didn't even take that long. And I have to say you're right.
Oh, I would never say you're being silly. You've offered such a gift that I haven't offered. We all have our own things. And if you can find passion in something, that's the thing you hang on to and you run with, because we all have our own talents and gifts.
True.
That's all it
true.
Is.
But, well, Craig Hogan told me years ago about the fact that he learned that he could remote view. He didn't know he could do that. And he gradually came to understand that he could act as a medium. He can automatically write. He can do all kinds of things. He didn't know he could do them until he tried it.
I know.
And so I would just urge people to try this stuff.
Right.
This book is a handbook for that. It's cute in that she also gives you homework at the end of the chapter.
Yes, I do.
And I didn't do it. Do I get it?
That's okay. You do it second time around. The whole point is, you know, there was a radio show I was on. I got to go on Coast to Coast AM, which I believe you've been on too.
Oh, yeah.
And George Norrie said, what you have here is a handbook for being human. So.
Yeah.
If we don't die, who are we? What is our life for? And I hear so many stories, people, even from doctors who are in an operating room right before people go under the knife. I mean, they're scared. They have regrets. It's the undelivered communications. And what would be better than when somebody is facing their last possible moments of life, looking back and going, wow, I played full out in that one. I did a great job. I learned a lot. I loved a lot. I forgave a lot. You know, there's always things we want to do that maybe we haven't, but to not have fear of closing our eyes on earth and opening and just knowing you're going to open them up in somebody, some other great place, and your loved ones are there to greet you. If we don't fear dying, Roberta, I feel we don't fear living. We can really go after our dreams.
Yes,
we can say things we want to say.
I say it a little differently. I just say, if you don't fear death, you don't fear anything.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the base fear. All of our fears come down to that. The,
right.
The loss, the vacuum, the loss of control, the emptiness. Death summarizes all the things we're most afraid of. There is no death. It doesn't happen. Our bodies die, but they, you know, it's like having your old Toyota towed away. You don't need it anymore.
No, you get a new hot rod, you know?
Yeah, right. Okay, let's talk about what you do for a living, because I think this is also fun. What is it you do for a living?
Oh, yeah, speaking about being hot rods.
Right, we're talking about cars now.
I am a chef by trade, and my mom and I own a catering company that we serve meals to race car teams around
that.
The country, in the IMSA series of racing. So mom and I are going to Daytona, in fact, next week, and we have a giant 120-foot tent, and we'll feed meals to 1,500 hungry men and women that work for the race car teams, the race car drivers, some of the sponsors for the week of the races. So we've been doing that 30 years.
And I should just say, for people who know about Daytona and look confused suddenly, that we record these a little ahead of time for my sanity, because otherwise, my life being so hectic, I might miss a week, and I would hate to do that.
Oh,
so we record these a little ahead of time, so you all know how the race came out. But this is, to me, a really kind of exotic fun thing to, I mean, maybe when you're in the middle of cooking, it's not so much fun, but you get paid for this intense work, right? And
right.
Then you have a period where, I think you run a chocolate and coffee shop, which strikes me as kind of the wrong thing to be doing. If certainly I couldn't succeed at it, because these are two of the things I love most in the world, and I would eat up my inventory. But for most of your time, you don't have to be doing this intense work, and yet you get paid well for it.
That is correct. And the coffee and chocolate store was something I started back in 91, and I'm actually absentee owner, and there's a lovely lady named Sharon who is working it and is going to take it over on her as her own. Because I think as human beings, our passions change.
Oh,
and
they do.
There's nothing wrong with that. So even though my name is still on the door of the shop, it's kind of in her hands, which is fine.
And great, yes.
The races, what's interesting is when the book came out, people, the race teams would say, oh, you're going to leave us, you're going to go be a big famous author.
Right.
And it's like, no, it's not that, because I have made a difference in more people's lives under that food tent. There's a big banner. It's really funny, because you go to a racetrack and you go to the food tent, and the last thing you expect to see is a big banner that says, is there any proof of life after death? Sandra Champlain says yes. And my mom and I do this together. Where there's a
great
table set up where all my books are for sale.
Isn't
someone made a documentary about me. That's there too. And I've got an audio about grief. That's there. But I've had so many men and women come to me. You know, one woman had breast cancer, and she just needed some encouragement. Another man, his fellow crew members never knew this, but he had lost a 5-year-old child several years before, wanted some faith. One of the race car drivers came to me. He's retired as a race car driver. He's now a TV announcer. And he says, Sandra, what's this business of life after death? What are you doing here? What are you selling? And I told him just briefly my story. And he says, can I tell you something? And I said, sure. He said, when he was in his 20s, he got into a terrible car accident. One of those ones, he was rushed to the hospital. He actually flatlined, and then he was in a coma. He said what happened was he was greeted by his grandmother and grandfather in what he describes a world so much brighter, more intense,
yes,
more vibrant than Earth. They were,
yes,
right there. He knew he had crossed over, but he was given the choice to come back to Earth or stay where he was with Grandma and Grandpa. So he knew he couldn't make a mistake either way, but he hovered over the hospital room. He saw his mom and dad and his brother praying for him, and he knew the right thing to do would be to come back to Earth. So
yeah,
he woke up in the body, and he said he was filled with incredible pain, but this memory of heaven being with Grandma and Gramps was so real that he said because he didn't fear dying, he said he drove the race cars. He had his foot on his on the pedal further than anybody.
What's the worst thing that can happen, right?
Right. He became a champion in many different series of racing because he was willing to take more risks. So that really told me if I could write a book that people don't have to have a near-death experience to believe in this, and if they could push the envelope in their life a little, because you can't have a new result without trying a new action. And so often we don't do any new actions because we're so afraid. So I want to give people the permission to just stretch out and go for it in their life and really have a life worth living. So,
That's what strikes me about your book, because especially for younger people, but frankly, for older people as well, we because of the fact that we are taught by science that we're going to blink out like a light, and we're taught by our religion, which probably is some variant of Christianity, that Jesus already died for our sins, so we don't need to bother doing much here. Yes, there are some words in the Gospels, and those words say we should love and forgive. And, you know, I'm really loving my family like you wouldn't believe. And I forgive most things. I'm living a pretty good life. That's the way we all live. And I've lived that way for most of my life, too.
Mm-hmm.
But if you take a book like Sandra's and read it with an open mind and maybe try the things in the exercises that she gives you, it'll open your heart in ways that no religion and certainly not science can lead you to do. And to have an open life, an empowered life, a fearless life is to makes you happy. I mean, that's where happiness comes from, is this inner peace of knowing that you are living the best possible life. And it doesn't take money. It doesn't take anything other than your own empowerment.
And
this is
cool.
One way to get started. I mean, Sandra, you've done a wonderful job in showing people how to get started. I couldn't have written this book. I don't think about these things the way you do. But I kept marveling at the fact that you were talking about, you know, grief and loss and hurt in a very empathetic way. You know, you had lived this, and you were sharing with people how to get through it. I just tell you what I say. I say, hey, you learn about what happens at death. You're not going to be afraid of death anymore. You know they're fine. Get on with life. That's my attitude towards grief. That's terrible.
It's interesting. It depends on the person. And,
That's true.
And it really does. And I describe grief and kind of the bonds we have with people. Like I have some people, and I know it because I'm a happy-go-lucky person. I mean, it takes everything to get me in a bad mood. It's so hard to get me in a negative mood or bad mood, Roberta. It's crazy. But after my grandmother died and then my dad died, I mean, I hit an all-time low. I mean, it was no matter what I believed in, it was so dark and depressing. And what I tell people is, you know, we're human beings, and it's like you can't just turn an off switch to grief. And it really does help to believe in life after death, and it really does cause your grieving to go by faster. But every human being has to grieve. It's kind of like, and this is a poor comparison, but if somebody's addicted to a drug, and you hear stories that you remove the drug and they go through this terrible withdrawal.
Yeah.
Well, when we are connected, when we love, I mean, there are neurotransmitters that are connected. There's a lot of chemistry going on in our brains and bodies. And when we break that tie, it is painful. So when I learned so much about that, and I learned some things to actually help our bodies to heal and have some of these better feel-good chemicals start happening in our brains and bodies, it really helped me move through grief. And then I created a free audio called How to Survive Grief. That's on that SandraChamplain.com website as well, all free. And it helps people not only move through grief, but understand it. And because I launched that free audio, Roberta, people started reporting, not only did it help ease their pain and give them understanding, but people started reporting they chose not to commit suicide because of my work.
Wow. One like that, now you know why you were born.
Well, and Absolutely. I didn't have any intention of writing a book, but I thought, you know what, if this is so powerful, and I have some really good information that life after death is real, and I've got some good information to help people live a positive life, it's like that was the genesis of the book. And my dad and Grammy and all the losses I've had, really, I feel like they did their part so I would feel my pain, and that they're my partners from the other side, helping me get this message out, helping you, helping me. I mean, there's so many of us that are trying to make this difference.
I mean, from here, it is very hard for us to truly understand. We have limited access to our own minds when we're in bodies, and we're just not being given all the information. We don't have experts helping us. The afterlife science studies is as real as any science. Mm-hmm. This is cutting edge stuff. But nobody is studying it who has a scientific background, or very few people are.
Right.
And it's just not known. And that's frustrating because, as you say, learning the truth is extremely empowering. I get emails every day from people now who have read or heard one of these podcasts or something, and it has help them in whatever position they're in right now. Your book has made me think about a number of things.
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk about them in more detail. I'm just going to do a little promo. This is Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. My nonfiction books are Liberating Jesus, My Thomas, The Fun of Dying, The Fun of Staying in Touch, and Flying High in Spirit. You can learn about all my books and find my blog at robertagrimes.com. Our guest today is Sandra Champlain, who is a dowser and a medium and a this and a that. All the things you've learned how to do are now part of who you are. But at her core, she's someone who serves. She serves people at auto races,
mm-hmm.
and she serves the people who need her help in trying to better come to grips with whatever's going wrong in their lives. And that's what this book is really about. So if you think you know about dying and you don't need more evidence that we don't die, that's not what this book is. This book is about empowering your life as you're living it now. And, I mean, I go at it in a totally different way in Liberating Jesus. That works. But you've made me think, Sandra, that in writing The Fun of Growing Forever, which I'm about to start to do,
cool.
I'm going to have to think more about finding where people are now and helping them go from where they are to how they can constructively live the teachings. That's a very good point, which I've really never thought about.
Yeah, it's excellent. And I started a podcast similar to yours, but different. I call mine Life After Death 101, and yours is an advanced course. I listen to your podcasts, Roberta, and I'm on the edge of my seat. You are opening me up to a whole new realm. And I have a podcast also on iTunes and wherever else you get podcasts called We Don't Die Radio.
Say that again.
Sure.
Everyone get your pencil. It's called We Don't Die Radio, right?
Yep. And you can type that into iTunes, or if you go to WeDon'tDieRadio.com, that'll take you there. And I'm somebody who, you know, as much as you like to share your story, I like to share my story. I still want to learn. So I have...
Oh, yeah.
Hour episodes or so that I ask people, why do you believe in life after death? And how do you live your life knowing that we don't die? So there's the empowerment. But
yeah.
I've talked to people that have had near-death experiences. I've talked to mediums. I've talked to regular people. You know, I mean, just – and the stories give you goosebumps. And here's the thing. Years ago – Not many people believed in life after death. Okay, fine. Well, I've just been kind of watching and searching on the internet the current percentage of people that do. And it's actually like in the high 80% worldwide that now do. So it keeps growing. So Roberta, all we have to do is keep learning, keep sharing. And what's happening with my own radio show is somebody will listen, and then they'll post it on Facebook, and, oh, you've got to hear this. And so one person tells two people, and two people tell four
people.
That's
right. That's
right.
Then, yes.
Yeah, and then I'm getting to learn more. Again, you've been a guest on my show, too, which is great. but it's so much fun. And the magic, I think the common denominator on having a great life is if you make your life about other people.
Yeah.
You know, take what you love and share it. You know, you feel good, number one. But number two, I think that's one of the biggest points in life is to make a difference for another person. So
yes, and there are so many ways to do that, actually. We're all being called to serve in our own particular way. And for some people, what you or I are doing, oh, that doesn't look like, for me, it's the most fun you can possibly have, but it doesn't look like fun to other people. But there will be ways that you can make other people's lives joyous and help them. And yep. That's really, well, let's be frank. What the dead tell us and what Jesus tells us is that we are here to learn spiritually, to grow spiritually. And that seems to be primarily for this sort of basic course we're all taking here, learning to love and to forgive completely, not optionally, not, well, some people, but not others, everybody.
Including ourselves. Self-forgiveness is something very hard for us to do.
I don't know why. It's hard. It's not hard for me. I mean, maybe I'm just too easy on myself. I don't know. But you're right. Thank you for reminding us of that. Self-forgiveness is essential. And losing fear of God is essential. And that's hard in this culture because we're taught as Christians to fear God. That's how they keep us in the seats, after all. And that was in the end why I had to leave Christianity. I took Jesus with me more than ever, but I couldn't look at that life-size, full-color, bleeding sculpture any longer, hanging on a cross over the altar. So I had to stop. But what I found is that the whole world is your church if you use it to try to just help people with every breath you take.
Mm-hmm.
But wherever you are right now listening, what Sandra has opened my mind to is the fact that everyone gets sort of reached in a different way. And if you're ready to empower your life, I can't think of a better way to do it than to read Sandra's book and to follow her journey, because that works, and she touches all the marks. She sees the marks that I don't see, and she touches those marks. So I consider her book to be a great resource for someone who's really serious about learning and growing. I mean, we've had a few people on recently who I think are wonderful. T.J. Woodward's Conscious Being is wonderful. It's extraordinary. And it doesn't come from the Christian tradition, and yet he makes it simple. So I'm telling people that's literally a companion to liberating Jesus. And I sort of think of Sandra's book as a companion to The Fun of Dying, because if you want to know how to live in order to have the best possible death, I can't think of a better thing to read than that.
Well, thank you for that. It's exciting to share this, too. I mean, it's exciting to learn. And you know this from even what you said on my show. And people that have had these near-death experiences, we judge ourselves, right? Like, we go through, what I gather, we go through first a time that we see our impacts on other people, and we feel the impact we've had on them from their point of view. And then we see the good we've done and the ripple effect. And talk about using a belief in life after death to empower us in life. I mean, there have been times, and I'm a human, I am not Wonder Woman, but there are times that a little white lie will come out of my mouth, and it's like, oh, you know.
But
then I think, too, like, if I have to relive this experience when my life's over, like, what is it that I want to relive? So it actually brings me to a higher level of integrity, and I deal with things more here on the earth plane. If I've got to deal with them sometime, I want to deal with them now. So I can sleep better at night, all to say.
I think the important thing to emphasize, too, is that living this way makes you really, really happy. I never knew happiness until I really got involved in this work. And turned it out to other people rather than just, because I started out trying to understand the afterlife just to figure out my experiences of light in childhood. It was just for me. I was very selfish about it. And I thought I would be a novelist. I thought, who knew? I mean, I'm an attorney. I was doing that too, and I still love doing that. The way you think of your working with the race car drivers and feeding them and talking with them is a ministry.
Yes.
So is my legal practice. I don't ever go to court. Instead, I help small business owners. And I do think of it as very much a labor of love and very much a ministry too. So there are many ways we can minister to and help other people.
Mm-hmm.
But the bottom line is, if you are looking for happiness in your life, this is where you find it. And I know this because, you and I have been through this, and a number of my friends, and are the most joyous we can possibly be now. But there's also the fact you have seen it happen in other people's lives, and I have seen it too, more and more now. People who are getting the fact that their life is eternal, and getting the fact that there are ways to elevate themselves just by helping other people, or figuring out how to do that, or loving better. It makes you happy. So
yes.
I don't understand why everybody isn't trying to live this way. It just makes you so happy.
I think it's in the realm of what we don't know, we don't know.
That's
you
true.
Know, I,
oh, that's and, so true.
Yeah, we don't know we're even should be looking for this. And one of the reasons I wanted to title my book, We Don't Die, is to wake people up. Because the immediate response is, well, yes, we do. So I wrote it, Roberta, picturing a skeptical man in front of me who didn't believe in anything, but he had some kind of a loss. So I actually talked to this man, and it's so funny because half of my readers are men, and they're like, God, it feels like you're talking just to me. It's so funny.
because you are.
But I am.
That's true.
And to deliver this message and to wake people up and try to, gosh, you and I have talked about this over lunch, but there's something about if we can live as if we are responsible for everything going on around us, like if something bad happens, well, maybe I put it there for my soul to grow, right? And even if you're driving down the road and you get a flat tire, how about that? It is so easy to be ticked off for a long time, and it's not empowering. But if you get into kind of the driver's seat of your life and say, I picked that tree to go down, and not that it's the truth, but it gets you back thinking what's important in your life. It's like, I could have taken a different road, I didn't. But if, I've had some nasty things happen in my life, and even now there's some relationships that aren't the best, and it's like, why did I pick them? Oh, how about so I could grow this way? I've learned
exactly.
That lesson. Let's pick this now. So, it is about, and you're the same, empowering people to live now and being responsible. And then the gift of forgiveness is huge.
The thing is, we don't understand, and I think you pointed that out, we don't understand the areas in which we have no knowledge. We are blind to our own blind spots. Mm-hmm. And so that's another great thing about your book, Sandra, because you basically started it as one gigantic blind spot, and you decided you were going to see if, and fearlessly so, as I say, I never tried any of this stuff. I think for two reasons. Number one, I felt I didn't need to because other people had, but number two, what if it didn't work for me? Would I be defective then, or would it be saying it doesn't always work or it doesn't work at all? I think I was afraid of the result. So to see, with sort of holding my breath, how each of the things you tried, you were able to succeed at, and to see how amazed and joyous you were about all of it.
Yeah, but I still have that fear. Here's something I just signed up for a couple days ago, is, first of all, and I have taken two mediumship courses that were just weekend courses, and I didn't go on to be a medium or to practice it, but I saw things so clearly in my pictures in my mind. It looked like my imagination of people that really existed. I knew names and things like that, and it blew my mind. That was one more thing that taught me that life after death is real. But I'm at the point now that I booked myself a week at the Arthur Findlay College in May. And for those who don't know, it's a medium training school. Every course, every week, there's different variations of a mediumship. And it's like, you know what? I'm sick and tired of the little voice in my head saying, I can't do it, or it won't work again for me. And if you find something you're afraid of and you go do it, The fear is gone, and you're left with a whole new power. So I'm going to give that a go. May 15th, Roberta.
I'm amazed. I mean, I'm still fighting. It turns out I have powers I didn't know I had. I can channel extremely well. And most of, if not all of what I've written and that's published, it turns out I didn't write it. Oh, talk about being humbled. Wow.
Yeah.
So all of us have gifts that we've chosen in order for us to do whatever it is we need to do, we want to do, we're trying to do. Maybe what we came here agreed to do, having signed a contract, basically, although I don't think we write it down, to do these things. I now realize that I did have that kind of a commitment before I was born. You don't remember any of this stuff, and you point that out in a really beautiful, cute way. You imagine yourself coming to Earth, clueless as could be, but hopeful and sweet, and then you get hit by life. I think that happens to so many of us.
Well, it does, and we all, you could be a listener right now thinking, oh, great, she's taken a medium course. I could never do that. I think I call it the voice in my book, but people call it the ego or the inner critic. We all have this nagging little thing in our brain, and it comes out as our voice. It's telling us we're not good enough, we're not pretty enough, we're too fat, we'll never make it, you're a failure, you're unlovable, all these things. And it's not real. It's not who you are. It's not telling the truth. But we all have it. So I think part, and this empowers me, whether it's the truth or not, but I think part of the deal we made coming to Earth is that we play by Earth's rules. Like, we believe we're just human beings, and we believe that our life ends, and, you know, there's things to learn here. Because for some, you know, if we knew 24/7 that we're these eternal souls, we might not get our money's worth out of coming to planet Earth. We might not feel this whole range of emotions. And I don't know if that's the truth or not. However, you have to know if that little voice pops up in your head that says, I can't do this, or that person won't love me, or I'm not good enough. Like, it is not the truth.
You didn't talk about it as the ego till relatively late in the book. At least I didn't notice that. And I kept saying, she's really talking about the ego here.
Yes.
She, whenever she gets this voice with a capital V.
Correct.
People are unsure, I think, about what the ego is. We've been taught in our popular culture that your ego is what gives you self-esteem, or your ego. The ego is almost seen as positive. The ego is actually not who you are, as you say, and it's pretty negative, because all it seeks is its own survival. It doesn't really even care about your happiness. It just needs to survive. And and anyone who takes A Course in Miracles seriously and really does it with a group comes to a point where the ego begins to fear for its survival because of what you're learning and the ways you're growing, and it has to be vanquished. I found that a very difficult and painful process, because it gives you fears like you would not believe. I knew that everything was fine, and I would live forever and all of this. And so, you know, they call rejoining the source, some people call it the second death, and I didn't know better at that point. So the one place where there was a little bit of a fear in my mind, immediately the voice picked up on and kept telling me, you can't continue to progress this way, because then you'll rejoin the source and you'll be extinguished. So I was terrified. I was terrified for months. I couldn't sleep. I wanted to go ahead with the course, but how do you deal with that?
Yeah, I know. That's huge.
So then came a morning when I woke up saying, and there was a voice, obviously it was my guide that had spoken to me during the night. And I remembered what he had said was, you will never lose awareness. You will have God's awareness. And I that voice was gone, and it's never come back.
I would love that.
I vanquished the ego, which is what they say happens in A Course in Miracles if you take it and take it seriously.
Yep.
It was beautiful. But let's sort of put together a little more here. We talked about vanquishing the ego, which you do in A Course in Miracles, and it works beautifully. Until then, Sandra, what should people do? Just ignore the voice?
Well, it's interesting. This practice I got from a guy named Dove Barron is his name. And it's really cool. And it's a piece of homework I put in the book, and anybody can do this. So if you write down on a piece of paper what you think of yourself, right? You know, mine's like too fat, gray hairs coming in, unlovable, still single at the age of 49, right?
Like, I should just say, parenthetically, Sandra is a beautiful woman. So
thank you.
Just but saying.
I have that voice, right? So
yes.
Everybody write down just on a piece of paper what does that voice says to you. Okay, great. So flip that page over. And then on the back side, you can either somewhat interview the people in your life or just imagine what they'd say about you. Just say, you know, when you think of me, what are the qualities that come to mind? So what happens is you start, oh, you're beautiful. You have a great smile. You're so generous. You're so funny. You're so loving. Oh my gosh, you're so smart. So, and then when you start seeing and take about half a dozen different people, you can either ask them or just imagine what they would say about you. And the two sides of the paper are like completely opposite.
Yes.
But the thing is, who are you really? If you
yes.
have only one of you that's saying the negative things, and that's the voice, and then you have all these other people saying the positive, who you really are is who people see you as. So start being responsible for living that life of the beautiful, powerful, fun, generous, loving person, because there's no evidence of the stuff that's on the piece of paper that little voice in your head wrote. So that's one great way to start.
It's a liar. Your ego is a liar.
Sure it is.
It was lying to me. It found one bit of fear, and it expanded that to fill my whole mind, and it wasn't even real. I mean, we never lose awareness. That's one of the things that I've learned from Mikey Morgan and from other communicators. Mm-hmm. And you instinctively know it too, because there's no time. Without time, you are eternal by definition. There's no way around that.
Yeah, and to continually, oh, my light just came back on. How weird is that?
It
oh
is
my
weird.
Gosh. I thought it burnt out. It really did. And it just went off when you said that.
Oh my, isn't that great?
Oh my gosh. But if you can also be in the present moment as much as you can be, if you're driving down the road and you're listening to music, really pay attention to what your eyes are seeing on the road and hearing your music. Don't pay any attention to the little voice who's nagging at you. Or if you have your kitty cat by your side or your dog and you pet them, just be 100% in the moment of feeling what their fur feels like or their
yeah.
heartbeat or the purring. And when we're so present, that little voice doesn't show up. And I think the voice that does come in is our higher power, our soul self, our deceased loved ones who are anxious to talk to us. But it takes having our mind quiet. So just be in the present moment to have that happen.
Is there, and that, which is a beautiful sort of summary of
yes.
what we've talked about. We're coming toward the end of our time. Is there anything in particular you want people to remember and take away?
Well, you are more powerful than you know yourself to be. Your love, your life is for a reason. Find your passion and go share it. And it's okay if passions change. And when it's all said and done, you know, if you can imagine looking back on your life right now, what would you think? Did you play full out and go after your dreams, or is there still stuff left undone? And if the answer is there's still stuff left undone, go do it. Go have the conversation with whoever you need to talk to. Go after a dream. On the other side of your fear is your dreams fulfilled. So just go for it. Go for it. And
I would say go
yeah.
for it too. And you give people more ways to go for it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think We Don't Die, Sandra Champlain, you can get it through bookstores, right?
And
you
can also bookstores, get it. Internet, every bookstore has
Amazon.
It, or they can get it for you, Amazon, yeah.
This is a great place to start, and frankly, she has such an engaging personality. Now I know it's because you're flirting with this grumpy male in your mind, but she has such an engaging way of talking, just as if you were there listening to her.
Thanks.
A very winning kind of personality, which I think we all want to learn from somebody we personally like, and you will personally like the author of this
Thank
book.
Thank you.
So we have come to the end of our time now, and which is sad, but you and I will be, we're actually going to have lunch next Saturday, so
yes,
we're looking
we
forward to that. I go to Massachusetts on occasion, and that's where Sandra lives, and so we try to make a point of getting together. I'm going to say now that this has been Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. You are a powerful, and oh my goodness, Sandra says, infinitely powerful, eternal being. You never began, you never will end. And when you fully grasp what that means, it's going to change everything in your life for the better. If you'd like to learn more of the amazing things we're learning about our one reality, past episodes of Seek Reality are available for free on webtalkradio.net and also on iTunes. And you know that I have a bunch of books, Liberating Jesus, The Fun of Dying, The Fun of Staying in Touch, Flying High in Spirit, and My Thomas. And within the year, I'll be writing The Fun of Growing Forever, which is really starting to push. I know I'm not going to be writing it. Somebody else will, but they're getting ready to write it. What a weird way to live. My goodness. All right. Next week, our guest is a living legend, R. Craig Hogan. He has spent his life searching for any way that he can convince you that your life is eternal. And this is his passion. I mean, I hope to do it. I hope to help you. But this is what drives him. This is why he gets up in the morning. And he's done a lot, actually. His book, Your Eternal Self, I consider to be indispensable background in the field. And I see Sandra does as well. So there's another recommendation. His self-guided afterlife connections can help you learn to experience your dead loved ones as they truly are now, alive, and actually more alive than ever. And it has been shown to decrease grief by a tremendous extent, especially grief for children. Craig, like many of us, has come to believe that our culture is a pretty hard case. I mean, we can, as you'll see when you read Sandra's book, and over you come across things you've never heard of that she's learning to do. This information is being kept from you, but not for much longer. What's going to change it is going to be the development of ways to communicate with our dead, which will be electronic, and which anybody will be able to do. It's most likely going to be just a program on your computer, and you'll be able to communicate with your dead loved ones. We're close enough to it that the gremlins are panicking. There are negative energies that feed off the negativity of the earth now, and they don't want us to understand that this is all just a little temporary place, and they don't want to make us less negative, because what will they eat? I mean, let's think of them after all. Craig has been working in this field in a number of ways lately, and so when I asked him what's new, he said, wait till you hear. So I said, you know, let's tell everybody. So he's going to be with us next week. This is a rare chance to meet him. He's very busy, and he's amazing. So don't miss this chance to hear what he has to say. Our guest this week has been Sandra Champlain, who's my friend, and actually I have a tremendous amount of respect for her. She's fearless, and her voyage, in a way, is a lot like Craig's. She's a researcher who's discovered the truth about our eternal nature, and now she wants to take you from wherever you are to the beautiful place where you need to be in this lifetime. Her book is We Don't Die, and it's a marvel to me, a marvel of patience, a marvel of cheerful understanding. And how can people reach you, Sandra? Tell us that.
They can reach me at sandrachamplain.com or wedontdieradio.com.
Okay.
Either way, and they can email me.
She's very busy. But she's only really starting. She's much younger than I am, and I'm looking forward to seeing where she's going to go with this career of hers. My dear friends, however each of us does it, now is the time for us to begin to come together and vanquish human cluelessness. Not only does learning the truth about who and what we really are make you as happy as you can possibly be, but each new person who really learns the truth is advancing the awareness of all of humankind. When enough of us are there, the world will change. Everything that you think that is impossible and entrenched is always going to be there. It'll all change. So please join us. We've got a whole world to save, and it still is not quite too late. For now, though, please enjoy and make the most of this coming week in our one reality, knowing that you are a powerful, eternal being, and you are infinitely loved.
You've been listening to Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Roberta blogs and answers questions at robertagrimes.com. Join us every week as we explore what the afterlife evidence and modern science combine to tell us is true about the one reality we all share. Knowing the truth changes everything.